It's time for the Scores Bears postgame show with Mully from the Mully and Haw Show and former Bears long snapping iron man, Patrick Manley, on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Well, it started with promise, Patrick, but it ended with failure. Is that fair? I don't know. 28-19, the Packers yet again beat the Chicago Bears. The Packers now have more victories in their history than the Chicago Bears.
Just aggravating. Very aggravated, Mully. The first half was so much fun to watch. I loved watching that defense with the effort they were playing with, being outmanned. It was fantastic, obviously. Justin Fields with the wow play of the big run. And then the second half happened. You just kind of saw the lack of talent for the Bears. Like, they took advantage of some of the DBs who I think were outplaying their ability in the first half just by sheer hustle and just playing pretty darn well. And it's just unfortunate it turned into what it was. Again, the special teams leaving 4 points out there. I thought that was going to be the storyline, for me at least, of having a field goal blocked and missing a PAT. But then, you know, it comes down to turnovers right now. You know, they give up the last one there at the very end, but or the last two at the end. But losing the turnover battle 3-0, you know, that's not good. And then the same storyline we have every week, Mully. There's no pressure on the quarterback. Zero. None.
Yep.
And that's a Packers O-line without their starting left tackle. And a couple of the rotational guys in there as well that it's unfortunate. And that just shows the lack of talent. But I thought maybe today was the day with the effort they came out and played with and Justin Fields being back and having some of those wow plays, they'd maybe be able to pull it off, but they didn't. And I'm a little ticked right now. I'm angry. It's
fair. That's a fair response.
I'm just upset.
You should be, because that was a game the Bears clearly could have won.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider the lead they had, the way they were dominating the game, and then it gets down to kind of the crunch time of the game. And frankly, I don't blame the defense. They've got nothing. They don't. I mean, it's you were fighting and you were staying in a game, and then the minute that you really had to do something, you couldn't do it. And I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. I think that it was just a situation where, again, you know, you can't afford any negative plays. How do you miss an extra point?
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad moment. How do you miss that field goal? Well, the trajectory of that ball was so low. I mean, what did he think it was from 60 yards?
I'm just wondering, too, with these, you know, the driving kicks, he's having to drive it. It's only 40 yards. I know it's cold out, but you should still be able to get some height on that kick. And the other thing, Mully, is, you know, the storyline here to me was Luke Getsy and his play calling. When they got down to the red zone near the goal line, they had a couple penalties. They're third and first and long, second long, and they're running the ball after the long bomb to N'Keal Harry. They just ran the ball, took the ball out of Justin Fields' hands. But then at the end of the game, when you did have it in his hands and they needed that drive to come back, he threw an interception. So he's still got to learn. The young man still has to learn and perform better at crunch time. But I was about to say right before the interception, I sat there and watched the game of Spiegel today, that this is his best game as a pro. I mean, his numbers were great. I think he had 2 incompletions or 3 incompletions at that point. He had thrown for over 200 yards. He looked efficient. He looked very good in the pocket. That's what I thought. He looked very good in the pocket. And you got to give credit to the O-line as well for protecting him. I thought they did a pretty darn good job up front. They do not have Rashawn Gary over there, obviously, but you know, they still did a nice job against that front up there to help Justin Fields look a little bit better. So overall, Justin Fields looked better until that Equanimeous Saint, or to the interception to Jair Alexander.
Right. Namaste, by the way. I don't know if you heard that story.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. It was, you know, it was just one of these games, ultimately, Patrick, where, you know, the Bears kind of go into these games with one hand tied behind their back.
Mm-hmm.
And they play a good game, and they get a lead, and you know, you can't help but marvel that they're competing in the game. And then, as you say, I thought Fields was playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't really run him after that touchdown run. It was almost like they were thrilled that he had that play and they didn't want to risk it again. I was surprised at the end of the game when they came out. Like, there was a moment where I think they handed off to Montgomery inside, and I thought he could have got on his horse and gone to the left and really picked up some yards. But they clearly weren't interested in doing that, and they were trying to be careful with him. And I think it's a difficult game plan when you are trying to protect a guy while taking advantage of what he does best. He had a really good game out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
He really did, right up to the point where he threw two picks late. And I feel like that robbed him of that afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, I was super happy, and you know, yep. Obviously I didn't want the moral victory with him playing a good game and the Bears losing. I still want to beat the Packers, but it is unfortunate what happened. But we saw growth. And the other thing we saw too, and he might have been doing it because he was injured, I think it was the play to Cole Kmet where he could have run for the first down. He could have got a 12, 13-yard yep. gain, but pulled up short, let Kmet and dumped it off to him, you know, over one of the defender's head and got a 15-yard gain. I think he did that two or three times today, and I love seeing that. And one reason why I love seeing that too is – you don't want him running all the time because, all right, he has a 30-yard run, a 20-yard run, has to come back to the huddle. He's tired. He's the quarterback of your offense. He's got to run the next play, call the next play, throw the next play, or whatever he's going to do. But I like him doing what he's doing with his arm, the way he executed with his arm today, even in the pocket and outside of the pocket that I'm talking about. He could have had some big scrambles, and he decided not to do it.
312-644-6767. We have people lining up. We're going to get to all your phone calls, and we appreciate you checking in. You know, I just think that on a day when Aaron Rodgers was seemingly as compromised as he was, he did not look good. I mean, he was like underthrowing players. He was missing some obvious passes. I just felt like he ended up having a much easier afternoon, mainly because they can't generate even a hint of a pass rush.
No, and that's where you got to give the credit to the DBs in the first half.
Yeah,
they were playing their butt off. I thought they were playing great. And that's the hits principle, too. The intensity, the hustle, and all that stuff. They played with that in the first half. This young group right. that's scrappy and all that kind of stuff, not the greatest talent, they played with that principle. But you can't have the penalties. You can't have the key penalties. You can't have the turnover. So I was encouraged and impressed with what I saw in the first half. I was just hoping what happened didn't happen, that just the lack of talent, the lack of ability up front to get to Rodgers, you know, came through, and it just hurt the DBs in the end of the second half. But I give them credit for the way they came out and played. They just got to play smarter with some of the penalties and turnovers.
And giving them a touchdown at the end of the half was a mistake, mm-hmm. obviously. I mean, we're not splitting the atom here. That was, you know, to take the lead they took and then to go in at halftime in the situation they were in, it just, you know, it's crazy to be up 16-10 after you kind of dominated them the entire first half.
Yeah, and it's deflating, too. And it was they stopped them on third down, and they, you know, they all put their fist up, like, oh, it's fourth down, they're going to kick the field goal. And they look up, and they're like, oh, no, the offense is still out there. We got to do this one more time, and they couldn't do it. And that's tough to go into halftime with, because 16-6 would have looked a lot better than 16-10, or felt a lot better, too.
No question about it. And you know, again, I don't know if you consider it an insult, but to me, when a team goes for it on 4th and 8 and mm-hmm. fails to convert, they're telling you they know you're no good. And then they come back at 4th and 4, and you're just hoping that you frustrate them. You know, you make them question why they think
sure,
they're
so good.
Sure,
that's how you can flip the game.
Yeah.
And then it does the opposite to you. It's demoralizing for sure.
It really is. And such is a pity. 312-644-6767. Chris is in Evanston. We'll start the conversation with Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was getting ready to call here till about 20 seconds left in the first half, saying what a great job by these young defenders. I disagree with even talking about the kicker because, you know, it goes back to the double doink. If you're a good team and you're winning, it should never come down to a kick. In addition to that, I do believe this is one of our best pass rush days. Not that we had a lot of pass rush, but Aaron Rodgers is just that good at avoiding that stuff and keeping the play open. Let's not forget about that. I don't think that's why we lost. We got thoroughly outcoached. You could take every terrible timeout decision that Matt Nagy ever made, combine them all together, and it is completely less than what we did calling that timeout on fourth down when they had one timeout left. They were either going to kick the field goal and go to the half. I don't know what he was thinking he would accomplish by calling that timeout instead of just letting them kick the field goal or call their timeout. And Justin Fields, If not today, what day are they going to let him throw? Like you said, he had two incompletions prior to that late time in the game. He was playing outstanding. He was playing outstanding passing the ball. He was staying
down
the
field.
Pocket.
He was throwing pills. I mean, it was on a rope for him.
And he had about 15 throws till late in the game when we had to start throwing the ball. If you're not going to open up the passing game for him today, when are you going to do it? I think we thoroughly got our coach. You got to have some pride. I'm so upset that we lost this game today, you know, and we got to coach better.
That's a good point about the timeout at the end of the first half. I forgot about that one. That's interesting. I don't know. It was one of those timeouts. You're like, wait, why? And then you start thinking about it, and you're like, oh, there's no reason. They must have a reason, but doesn't make sense to me why you do that. And then Justin Fields, he was hot. He was feeling it. And it's you know, they're talking about being out coached. Luke Getsy, those two series that I'm talking about, that the one year the in the red zone where they got backed up from the goal line. You've got first and long, second long, third and long, and you run the ball. It didn't make sense to me. Give him a chance to win it with his arm down there. To me, that was bad play calling. I'm wondering what Luke Getsy will say about that this week.
Yeah, he doesn't speak till Thursday,
right.
So he'll have time to get his story straight. We talked to Dave about that, and he was saying that it is not unusual for teams to run, because we were talking about the whole sequence against Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and Dave said that if you actually study teams in 2-minute drill or in quick assault kind of mode, they will run the ball just to put the defense in a little bit of a kind of, they want them to think about everything.
Right.
It is not unusual to do that. And the other element is, you know, you're going four downs for the most part. So you will, you don't mind running a time or two if you're gaining some yards, because then you're going to go for it on third down and you know you'll go for it on fourth down. But I'm with you. It didn't make all the sense in the world to me the way they were kind of operating. And frankly, I don't know what Justin saw in that play. I'll have to go back and watch the all 22 because, you know, that just looked like a pass to Jair Alexander.
Yeah.
That didn't look like
it. Might have
looked
been
like
just,
he had position.
It might have been just a really good play by Jair Alexander. Sometimes that happens. And that could be what it was. I mean, he jumped the route pretty well. I don't know if, you know, Justin Fields maybe sees it differently and wouldn't, or sees it again, wouldn't throw that.
Right.
But he did make a nice play. I mean, he read the route, knew that he was stopping, and then he jumped the route and picked it off.
Let's try Steven. Steven's in Columbus. Always a joy. Hey, Steven.
Hey, Molly. Hey, Patrick.
But
listen, as soon as Santos missed the extra point, I knew this game was coming down to that single point before the touchdown and the 2 points completely put the game out of touch. And I've been highly critical of Richard Hightower, but, you know, he's literally putting himself, you know, in the firing line today. But I tell you, we need to bring in a new kicker, but that's for another day.
Wow.
But like I said, the first caller, I'm so disappointed with Luke Getsy. That last two drives completely changed the complexion of the ball game. You throw a deep ball on first down, and then you run on the next three downs on subsequent possessions, and then led to blocked field goal and only a field goal. Like, the Bears were trying to lose this game on purpose. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but you look at those two drives with the Luke Getsy throwing the ball on first down on the deep ball, and then you subsequently run those three runs, which gets nothing. I seriously question Luke Getsy's mindset in that second half, more so than anybody else today.
You know, I appreciate your thoughts, Stephen, but I wonder how much they were worried about compromising the quarterback, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It seemed like they abandoned the Justin Fields run very early.
Yes.
And we had seen, Patrick, we had seen Green Bay get buried by Jalen Hurts. And I would argue that Fields is capable of finishing plays better than Jalen Hurts. I'm talking about running plays. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Hurts was absolutely a terror against them. But when Fields, as effortlessly as he did, made two little cuts mm-hmm. and just broke into the the open field and outran everyone to the end zone. I honestly thought we were going to see a lot of that all day long. I couldn't believe that he did it again. You know, we've seen him do the 61, 62-yard run, the 67, and this was, what, 56? Unbelievable. I mean, absolutely incredible that he had done it. And, you know, when think about it, when they came out and they completed that pass down the field for 56 yards to St. Brown, they then ran the ball to score a touchdown. And I felt after the N'Keal Harry play, it made sense they were going to run again. Just the way he had been operating, it didn't stun me. What stunned me is that the field goal kicker couldn't get the field
goal. That's aggravating.
That was really aggravating.
Yeah. But a couple things there is that, all right, if you're not going to run Justin Fields, let him use his arm a little bit more. Don't give it to David Montgomery as much. I'd like to see him have a chance with his arm a little bit. Let him develop. Give him those extra 5 to 6 pass plays that you want to see him in a situation where it's a passing situation instead of running the ball. They did have a nice run on third down where they did the zone read and got the first down with David Montgomery. That was a good call because it worked. But there's some others there that I didn't like that I just give him a chance to throw the ball more, especially when it's first and 23 or whatever it was, and second and 23 and third and 23. I wish I would have seen him throw the ball a little bit more. But I guess a good thing on special teams, if you want to flip it, is Velus Jones. 4 returns for 114 yards, a 28.5 yard average. So he's showing some speed back there. He showed me some good vision. They obviously blocked it up pretty well for him to run it that way, but I was impressed with what he did as well.
Were you surprised they didn't use him more on offense? We had talked about that. That seemed like a fairly...
But you did see him as a running back.
But I'm saying I thought we'd see more of that, frankly.
Yeah, I did too, but I guess there's only one ball to go around for everybody, and you want to get Claypool involved. Cole Kmet had another good game. St. Brown had the nice catch. I guess you would want to see him more, maybe with some more of the jet sweeps or gadget plays, things like that. But, again, how many plays did they run today? I'm going to check this out real quick. So, that's a problem, too, is how many plays do you get to run, you know, to try to get everybody. They had 50 total plays, so it's not too many.
Yeah.
The Green Bay had 63. So there's only a limited number of opportunities, but sure, you want to see him more. But maybe we'll in the future.
Patrick, I believe they ran 41 plays the first time they lost to Green Bay. It occurred to me that they are a different team now on offense. And, you know, again, you know, the Chase Claypool fumble killed them. I mean, they get a play down the field and they get a first down and then you lose the ball. Not good. And then obviously the two picks at the end of the game are going to change the entire way that we look at Fields' game. He ended up 20 of 25 for 254 yards. And I felt that it wasn't a great representation of what he achieved in the game with the two picks at the end. But it is an issue now. Something you got to contemplate is how does he do finishing a game?
Sure.
He's got to make those plays.
No, it's definitely a question because he's had all these opportunities to win games and hasn't been able to come through. And before, we've been blaming other guys with drops, right? St. Brown dropping one, Marcel Smith making a mistake. But now this was him, you know, throwing the ball to the other team. And was it Jaire Alexander jumping it and making a great play? But even if it was, you just can't have that happen in that situation. That's where you as the quarterback got to be under complete control, take care of that offense, and get in the end zone.
No sacks in the game.
Yeah.
Neither team had a sack. It didn't surprise me that the Bears didn't have a sack because it was kind of, I don't know, they didn't.
That's just what we do.
They don't have anyone who would get a sack. You know, Taco Charlton apparently had a chuckle with the quarterback when he was chasing after him. That's nice. But I was glad that Fields didn't get sacked.
That's impressive. That's credit to that O-line. That's been, you know, working their butt off all year and the guys coming and going.
But it's credit to him, too, because he did move out of a couple of, you know, he did buy himself time in the pocket, and he's good at that. Yeah. So,
and we got to see Alex Leatherwood today.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I want to know how many snaps he had. I wasn't following the rotation just because the game was so entertaining otherwise. Normally, if it's a bad game, I'd probably fall in love watching the O-line play, but this was too good of a game to watch.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Jason is in Wisconsin. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I do have a question. Luke Getsy, if you go back to the Atlanta game, he calls two sweeps on Justin Fields. Today, he calls a 3rd-and-5 run up the middle. Why don't they let him scramble and pick up those yards? Why would you
I think he may have been compromised because he had a separated shoulder. That's the only answer to that question that makes sense to me. Patrick, what do you think?
It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense to me. That's still third down. Give him the opportunity to get that first down with his arm and his legs, and then just have him slide. There was one early he slid, left a third and one, right, that he slid early, which I was fine with that. If you've got to do that right now, do it, and then go ahead and make sure you convert on the third down, and they did. So just, I don't know. I didn't like the play calling today by Luke Getsy. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, it's just there's the way he was playing, the way Justin Fields was playing and seeing the field and delivering the ball should have given him more opportunities in those situations.
They scored on the opening drive again.
Mm-hmm.
He's done that a lot, Luke Getsy, but, you know, it was a field goal, and I don't know. I got to tell you, I wanted them to win that game, and I thought for a second there that you were a genius because you had picked the Bears over the Packers, and I've never seen Rodgers look that mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't look good to me at all, and he must be compromised, hurt, whatever. He just looked – it was really weird to see a guy that you've seen make so many plays over the years kind of – underthrowing balls, and you know, he looked every bit of 39, and I don't mean that as an insult. I'm a lot older than that, but it was weird, Patrick.
It was weird. And then he's one of the best spinners of the ball, right? Throws one of the best spirals, and I think that avulsion fracture in his thumb is hurting him more than he's letting on. That's why he's been inaccurate. The one to Randall Cobb that he threw wild, but I think he yelled at him. He should have been going up the field, but still, if he was going up the field, he looked like he would have missed him by 3 or 4 yards instead of 7 yards. But then just even some of the, you know, the tight shots that Fox would go to of the ball coming in, the receiver had a wobble on it. Looked more like Peyton Manning's pass than a traditional Aaron Rodgers pass.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, 312-644-6767. We're going to keep the conversation going. Want to get your questions and thoughts on the game, 312-644-6767. It's the post-game show here on The Score.
First down and 10, Bears football, right to left. Packers the lead, 20-19. Snap at a play fake. Fields looking to throw. Over the middle, it's intercepted. Intercepted by Jair Alexander inside the 30-yard line of the Green Bay Packers, aiming for Equanimeous St. Brown. So they tested 23 all day. Two great success, except for that one here in the fourth quarter. And Jair Alexander comes up with a big play in a one-point Packer lead with 2:48 to play in the game.
It's the post-game show on The Score. And, Patrick, I thought that Tom's voice there.
I was just going to say that.
Perfect,
yes.
Right?
He is so invested in the Bears, obviously, being a player and being a great – doing a great job what he does now, that he is fantastic to listen to in those moments because it's all over him. I mean, he can just feel it. You know, you just feel his emotion, and that's exactly what it was. I think we all felt that way. Us as Bears fans, especially going against this Packers team, that when that happened, you knew the game was over. I mean, it was just, you knew that was kind of the moment.
In my mind, I could hear all the great number 57s kind of moan like that. And
including Jack Sanborn.
Hey, is he becoming a pretty damn good player, isn't he?
I think so. He had that little veteran move in the against Tonyan where he pulled the guy by the hip and
fantastic.
Got away with it. I mean, that's pass interference. And, you know, I think it was Adam Johns wrote the piece about him, about how smart he is as a football player. You kind of see that because obviously he doesn't have the greatest speed in the world, but he dissects the play before it's happening. He knows kind of where the ball is going to go, and he can anticipate what's going to happen, and he shows that. He had another good game.
My favorite play was the running back is hitting the sideline, and he somehow weaves through traffic and gets him on the basically on the legs. You know, he comes in, and then just a great little tackle and a great little kind of sussing out exactly what they're doing and reading it. And, yeah, I mean, that was fun to see.
Yeah, he's improving every week, and that's a person, as you evaluate this bad team, that he's a bright spot. You're very happy for him, and you hope he can continue to grow to be a very quality starter for this team. But if the worst comes to worst, you've got a core special teamer that you would not have a problem plugging in if an injured linebacker went down in the future. You'd be very happy with that.
He has a future.
Yes.
I think that's a fair comment. No question. All right, we got a lot of people who want to check in. 312-644 67-67. We're taking all your calls. We'll start with Michael. Michael's on the south side. Hey, Michael.
Yes. I don't know. Two things. Me. The Bears are lost because of the kicker twice, right? And a punter dropping two balls, right? That's four games right there. Mm-hmm. My thing is this. The commentator for the who was the analyst on the game today, he made a good point. The receiver didn't box out the corner. He didn't box him out. He said the guy jumped right in front of him. I mean, you know this game is supposed to be you play a 2-minute drill at the end, basically, and the guy just jumped right in front of him. He didn't even try to box him out or anything. Hmm. He just let him jump right in front of him and take the ball away from him. Just like
Mark Flareth was the commentator today, and did you think of it that way, Patrick?
I mean, I didn't.
Equanimeous St. Brown knows Jair Alexander. Sure. They were teammates.
Mm-hmm. No, and I'll be honest, I don't know that much about the receiving position and defensive backs. I know more of the line play. But to me, that was a spot route. That he's going to a spot, and that's where Justin Fields has to read the coverage on him. If he's tight on him, he's got to go somebody else. And Jair Alexander was tight on him, and I just think maybe he threw it to the wrong guy. You know what I mean? Threw it to the guy that was covered. That's NFL covered, and like I said, Alexander made a great play and jumped the pass and picked it off. I'm not sure if that's his job to box him out. I think that's a timing play when he comes out of his break. Either the ball's on him like it was looked like it was going to be, and Alexander made the play.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Alexander, recognized something and stepped in front of him, and there's little you can do about it. Paul is in Park Ridge. Hey, Paul. It's probably an error on the quarterback's Pat. Sorry, Paul, one second. It's probably just an error on the quarterback where – he doesn't see something that he will learn as he goes on. And
that's what I think it is. That's what I think it is. I'll be honest with you. I texted Matt Bowen about it. He said he saw the very end of it, and he couldn't give a true breakdown until he sees the All-22. So I went to the expert to try to find out.
Look at you.
Yeah, I wanted to know what I was talking about.
You're working
and he
very
didn't
hard.
Even know yet.
Let's go to Paul. I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. And again, I agree, guys. Justin needs to stay away from throwing at Jair Alexander in that situation, period, in my eyes. Right? Throw it to someone else. So here's my thing, right? A lot of bouquets have been thrown towards Luke Getsy. And if I see another really bad screen pass thrown along the line that is going nowhere that we continue to throw, I'm going to lose my mind. And then running the ball, Molly, I get your point. You got to be careful a little bit with Fields. You don't want to expose him. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they were conservative beyond belief in the whole second half.
I agree with
that. And Schlereth called it out. Schlereth was like, why are you running the ball like this? Pass the ball. That's the most important thing with Justin the rest of this year, right, guys? I want Justin to continue to develop in the passing game. He was doing fine. He did really well.
Yes,
so
he did.
Continue to do
Paul,
it.
Paul, they took two shots downfield and converted both of them, right?
Yeah.
What would have happened if they what if they had tried four? Mm-hmm. What if they had tried six? What would the ratio have been? I mean, that – they scored a touchdown because he threw a 56-yard pass to Equanimeous St. Brown, who ran a great route, went right by the guy, caught the ball inside the 5-yard line. And then I thought N'Keal Harry, I thought that was the best catch. Honest to God, I didn't know he could make a catch like that because I thought he was more of a body catcher. Mm-hmm. It was a hell of a catch.
And he made a nice read, too, on the rollout to go ahead and the scramble rules and took off and made the good catch. He did make a hell of a catch. And that's a tough catch because it was a little bit behind him. That was a great catch.
Let's try Dan. Dan is in DeKalb. Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
Been better.
I think this one stinks because it's the Packers. And I think it's bittersweet because we did see some – I was worried that Justin was going to come out. It was going to look kind of like the end of the Atlanta game, but it didn't. He continued to spread the ball. He had those two deep passes. And he's honestly making his receivers better, which is what I want to see. And it's fun to see. I think that the coaching, that can get a fix itself. The kicking, they're a dime a dozen. You can bring a guy off the street and try that. But I think my most important thing is watching Justin develop, and it still seems to be headed at the correct pace. So I'm like, it stinks because you don't want to lose to the Packers, but at the same time, it is kind of nice to continue to see, like, hey, that guy on the other side who's been, like, burning this team for victories, like, time and time again, Aaron Rodgers, he looked, I mean, I hate to say it, but part of it is his injury. He looked kind of old, and he looked miserable most of the game. And that was fun to watch. I mean, how can you not like that?
And then he rubs it in on us with that darn smile he has at the end of the game when he knew the game was over. That one hurt. Yeah, but I was enjoying the heck out of watching the sideline copy of him sitting down and just being upset and moping. I love that. But then
he's 39 years old. He just had his 39th birthday. And, you know, listen, he's still a young man. But in football terms,
we may have
been deceived by Tom Brady. We may look at quarterback years differently, and we shouldn't, because, you know, I agree with you, Patrick. I thought his thumb injury clearly impacted the way he was throwing the ball.
Yeah.
We've seen him make every pass known to man and weird arm angles and get everything accomplished over the course of his career, and he wasn't the same guy.
No, and you just look at his numbers. Well, 18 of 31, 182 yards.
Wow.
One TD. Obviously not sacked at all for a rating of 85.7.
Wow.
And you see the name Aaron Rodgers next to that, you just don't expect that. If you did see that, I would think that's a loss for them. But unfortunately, they're playing the Bears today.
What was Fields' passer rating?
75.7.
Yeah, see.
The two interceptions kill you.
Yeah, the beauty of passer rating, and it's an absurd statistic, but it is designed to reward you for touchdowns over interceptions, and you get punished pretty heartily for interceptions, as you should, frankly. You can't throw picks and win games, and unfortunately, I thought he was playing a really good game right up to the point where the two picks came in.
Yeah, I think I told you, I was sitting there with Spiegel, and I was just about to say, this is his best game I've seen as a pro by far, and then right then, he rips that throw, and I'm like, oh! I jinxed him, but I didn't even say it, so I didn't jinx him, but he did it anyway. But the bad thing is we can't have this going forward. We can't have fourth quarter interceptions. To me, when I evaluate a quarterback or look at a quarterback that I want on my team, you've got to be valuable at the end of the first half and then obviously in the two-minute drill in the fourth quarter. You got to protect the ball.
I mean, there's no way around that. It's just the reality. Marlon is in Atlanta. Hey, Marlon.
I watched the game, and I just want to say to Bears fans, please be patient. Please be patient. Justin Fields is a stud. They are going to win. They're learning how to win. You have to remember they have a young quarterback. They have a young offensive team. They have a young defensive team. They have a young offensive staff. They have a young defensive staff. They have a young coaching staff. Like they have to come together. This year, to me, is an evaluation period. I want to see continual growth from Justin Fields. I want to see continual growth from the offensive line. I like Bryson Jones so far. I like what little continuity they had with the offensive line. I like it moving forward, but I just want to see those guys gel and come together. I mean, think about it. They have Equanimeous St. Brown, Dante Pettis, N'Keal Harry, Byron Pringle. They're going to get better. These guys are going to get better. You know, I like the foundation that they're laying with Coach Eberflus. I like Coach Allen. I like the coaching staff. I like the staff up in the front office. I like what they're doing, guys. Just please, please be patient. They're fighting injuries. Again, they're a young staff. They're trying to come together, man. You know, let's just be patient. Look at how they fought with the against the Green Bay Packers. I remember watching, you know, Aaron Rodgers kill the Bears. Over the past, I've been watching the Bears for a long time, and I've seen Aaron Rodgers kill the Bears, but I saw a weakness in Aaron Rodgers today that I hadn't seen before. We're going to win. Just be patient, please, please, Bear fans. That's all I got to say, man. Hey, I enjoy the show that you guys do. Just be patient, please. That's all I have to say. Just be patient, Bears fans. Let's go bear down.
That's fair.
It is fair, but to me. All right, if he had this game against the Seahawks, we'd be having a different conversation.
Right.
Me, I'm saying I'm really upset because they lost to the Packers. You know what I'm saying?
Awful.
If they had, if this was against any other opponent that they played earlier in the year, I think we would be a little more patient. But I think this is such a rivalry game for Bears fans that we're sick of seeing Aaron Rodgers doing what he's doing, that you wanted him to go out there and win this game.
Aaron Rodgers didn't play well enough to win that game.
No.
But the Bears didn't play well enough to win the game either. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but
that's like, what it felt like. And that's what it looked like.
It was interesting to see him lose, but or to see him not be the guy he has been. But he did win the game. He has won whatever it is, 8 in a row or something. I mean, it's just it's mind-boggling how often they have lost to Aaron Rodgers. So if you sense disappointment in the Bears, it's just because they at one point should have won that game and unfortunately couldn't finish it. I think we understand exactly what you're saying, that the Bears are a team that is going to get better, that Justin Fields is showing incredible progress. I mean, listen, he proved today that he could play hurt, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge thing.
Sure.
If that guy is your quarterback moving forward, and I believe he is, that is a wonderful thing to have. He is so competitive, he is going to play regardless of injury. And Patrick, I'm not telling you anything you don't know from your own experience. That is an extraordinary fact. That's a really good thing.
Yes. You want players not to be 100%ers.
Yes.
In the NFL, you've got to be able to play nicked up.
Yeah.
It's just the way the game goes. And I'll tell you what's a good thing about today, it didn't look like he got beat up any worse.
No,
so now he has the bye week to really heal up, and then hopefully he can have a very strong developmental last 4 weeks. Let's just hope that happens. I'm not going to call them wins, but a strong developmental games.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe we won't be as disappointed if it's not against Green Bay.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be. That's why I'm so disappointed. I'll be honest with you. You've heard me talk on this show for years of how much I can't stand losing to him. I'm done with it.
Yeah,
and I was thinking I thought today was going to be the sooner than the later that he talked about, but I guess we still have to wait for the later.
The later is coming.
Yes.
312-644-6767. You're listening to the Post Game Show on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the Score.
So they run it on 3rd-and-5, and they get a yard. Now a 40-yard field goal try, hit from 40 on the other end of Soldier Field. This for his 3rd field goal of the day. Here is the snap, the placement made, the kick is blocked. It was a low kick, and blocked by Green Bay. The Bears get nothing out of that promising drive. 19-17, we remain here at Soldier Field.
Our thanks to our friends at WBBM, our sister station, for the highlights. And, you know, a rough one, a difficult game for the Chicago Bears. They had an opportunity to sort of, to take advantage of a really good start to the game. They went up 10-0. I saw a text that the last time they were up 10-0 was last year when they lost by 10 points. So I didn't get caught up in it, but I heard Aaron Rodgers in the post game. Apparently he said there are probably a lot of people feeling good at 19-10. So did I.
Mm.
God, he just rubbed salt in the wound.
I know.
But really,
if that quarterback, everybody can talk about him as a person, whatever. But if, yeah. but if he was yours, you would love
You'd
that.
Be delighted.
I would love that. I mean, I would love that attitude, and I hope Justin Fields gets to that point where he does that, have that inner confidence, like we're going to be okay. I understand I'm going against a bad team. Give me the ball. We're going to be okay. I'll get us in the end zone and win this thing.
And you know, that is the sad reality of this game, is that, you know, he had a 56-yard touchdown run, which was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
He had 254 passing yards, which was absolutely spectacular. But he made two crucial mistakes in crunch time. You know, the first one was the only one that mattered, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But
on that.
But there were two, and so it just looks bad. And it's your big opponent, and it's hard not to get upset about it.
Yeah, and then the Chase Claypool fumble hurt too. I mean, that hurt pretty bad.
Yes, it did.
That hurt a lot. And I always joke, was it one of those NFL missed layups, and you go and you hold your ankle like it was your ankle's fault why you missed the layup, because he went right to his knee? And I was scared that maybe he did hurt himself, and I'm glad he didn't at all. But I'm hoping he's just not one of those that blames something else for why he fumbled it. You know, that he's going to fake blame it or whatever. But he's got to hold on to that. He definitely has to hold on to that.
That totally went through my head, which, you know, is probably from watching too much football in my life. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if other people felt that way. But I'm glad to hear you articulate it, because that totally went through my head.
Yes. I'm like, wait,
Yeah.
Now
if
he's
he had caught that ball, he might have popped back up.
Yes.
If he hadn't been, if he hadn't fumbled
right.
that.
And you see guys do it all the time. You see all it in the NBA time. All the time. If a guy misses a layup and he goes and grabs his ankle.
Yeah.
And it wasn't his ankle. He just missed the layup. Because they're not supposed to do that because they're pros. But that hurt a lot. And you don't want to see that.
No.
And that's a guy, too, we're evaluating, right? We all want to have to be a great receiver, and you want him to make these great plays. And he had a pretty good game other than that. He had some production. What did he go for? Well, he had five receptions for 28 yards. So he was targeted six times. That's what you want to see. It's not a whole lot of yards, but you want to see him targeted. But you just don't want to see that fumble. That you can't do that. If you're going to be the number one go-to receiver that you're hoping for or the playmaker that you're hoping for, you can't have that.
And it was a big point in the game because it was another pass down the field that Fields had hit. And you know, you felt like, okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. Here comes a drive. Oh, no, they gave the ball away. And again, we talked in the pregame show about this idea, and we've talked about it on a weekly basis. The Bears are not the type of team that has enough depth, enough talent to overcome a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So it just felt like this was maybe a bridge too far when you lost the turnover battle. It ended up being very lopsided. I don't think it impacted the game as much as that play.
Yeah, and then what you were talking about too, unfortunately, I went back and looked at the play-by-play. That was the series where he targeted Claypool three times.
Yeah.
He had the one incomplete on second five and then hit him short pass to the right that went for 15 yards for the first down, then came right back to him again over the middle for 17 yards and he fumbles. And that was encouraging. I was like, all right, maybe this is what our future is going to be. This is the guy you can get going an entire drive, and you can get down and score some points, and unfortunately he fumbled.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We'll start again with Carter. He's in Hersher. Hey, Carter.
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure to be on here. I'm sitting in the parking lot by school in the store with my buddy Fritzy. I'm just calling because I'm ticked off. I'm a senior in high school. I got to go to school tomorrow and listen to Packers fans talking crap to me, whatever.
Hey, Carter, hold on. Carter, I got a question for you. So you're a young Bears fan. Everybody here is talking about patience, and they have patience. Do you have patience for this team, or are you just more upset because they lost to the Packers?
I believe in the future, for sure. I think Fields is a stud, but it does hurt to watch him lose to Aaron Rodgers again, but... It can't happen forever, I hope. But so I was going to see what you guys thought about this. I'm in my Uncle Tim's garage, and every time there's a missed kick, everybody's like, oh, should have held on to Robbie Gould, which if I said something like that at school, everybody's going to call me an old head or whatever. But even if it wasn't Robbie Gould, do you think if the Bears have had a good kicker the last, like, let's say Justin Tucker has been on the Bears for the past few years, would we be happier with where they're at, or do you think that it's just all around bad sometimes?
Well, thanks for the call, Carter.
Tell Fritzy and Uncle Tim we said hello.
Yeah, exactly. I got to tell you something. Cairo Santos has solved a major problem for the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
He is a good kicker. He missed he's had missteps along the way. That happens. If you were to go back and continue with Robbie, that would have been the best move, without shadow of a doubt. And that really, really cost you back with the double doink.
Yeah.
I don't think the 2018 season would have ended that way if Robbie were still here. But I think that Cairo Santos, being fair about it, has been a good enough kicker. It was very difficult to see him make a couple of mistakes today, and it seemed like it was him, Pat. I don't know if you'll have to see the tape. I don't know if you managed to do that, but I mean, that extra point was never online.
No,
and
he just pushed that one bad.
Yeah, it seemed like he just pushed the thing, and then the blocked field goal was just a low kick.
Yes.
And I don't know why it would be a low kick.
He missed
it
again.
So it was an error.
Yeah, I think he missed it again. I think he was trying to attack it a little too hard like he did on that 55-yarder that came up short that was that line drive. Because just a little bit of angle they showed on Fox, it looked like it was protected well. And the guy's arm, where it hit it, to me, it just looked like a low kick. There didn't seem like a whole lot of pressure. And then the reaction from the guys up front to they couldn't believe that he got blocked because they felt like they didn't give up ground, like there wasn't leakage. But that's what I saw from just the quick TV copy. But those are one of those surprising ones when you're up front and you feel like you don't give up any pressure and all of a sudden the ball's blocked. You're like, oh, he must have kicked it low.
What do you think of if Robbie had stayed, would you feel differently? I mean, listen, Robbie was a Pro Bowl kicker.
Well, I wouldn't want him to be here because he would have broken all my records. So I'm glad he left. No, I mean, I'm proud as heck of him, what he's done with his career. And obviously, you would be better with a kicker like that. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the best kickers to ever play the game. I mean, that's what his stats are right now. He's right up there with one of the most accurate, most points. So sure, you'd love to have him. But here's the other thing, though, if you put on your GM hat, how much would it have cost you? You know, and how much better would you have been? No, you're not going to the playoffs. And, you know, maybe the double doink, he doesn't miss that. But everything else, he's not making that big of a difference.
But, in fairness, I think that was why they cut him. They mm-hmm. were worried about paying the price tag, and then they ended up paying a horrible price with the double doink.
Yes. And so, there's a great example up north, too, in Mason Crosby. He's had some down years.
Yeah.
But they let him fight through it. And Ryan Pace and the new regime, they didn't let Robbie fight through it. He was down. He was missing some kicks. But kickers do that. I mean, Mason Crosby's in what year, whatever he is up in Green Bay, and he's had some down years. But they're like, we understand he's not going to be, 95% every year. He's going to have a couple down games or whatever, and they stuck with him. And it's turned out pretty well for them up there with him.
So we mentioned this earlier, the Bears falling to the Packers. The Packers are now 47-15 since Favre became their starter.
I didn't hear
traded
you.
From,
yeah, I couldn't hear those numbers. That's you can say them. I just can't hear them now. It's weird. I can just wash them out. I don't even hear the numbers.
28 times they've won by more than 10 points. They only won by 9 tonight.
Moral victory?
I'm trying, buddy.
I don't even hear these numbers. When you say the numbers, I just hear wah, wah, wah.
I'm trying to soften the blow.
That's all right. It can't be soft. I'm just sick of it. It's time.
Yeah.
Sooner than later. Justin said sooner than later, and I need the sooner, not the later.
All right. We'll be right back. We're going to take your calls, 312-644-6767. It's the postgame show on The Score.